Back in the late 1800s, the man, E.T. Gravitt, found some land, saw an opportunity, and bought the property.
Primarily an agricultural community at that time, but became a pretty thriving little town supporting areas here.
That's John Mitchell, a Gravitt native.
As you probably know, back in the days, 1893, Bentonville's a county seat, and if you had business from the Gravitt area in the county seat, you hitched up your horses and wagon and went to Bentonville. That took most of a day, and you camped there, conducted your business the next day, stayed another night, and the third day you came home.
So, John says that, like many towns at the time, Gravitt was formed for a need to have resources close.
McAllister's, which was one of the big businesses back at that time, carried not only food items, groceries. They were the Walmart of the day, with groceries, with clothing, with feed for your animals, basically whatever you needed, they had in their store.
And so, the town of Gravitt was incorporated in 1893. The Gravitt Museum, sort of, started with Johnny the Barber, who was responsible for making a model of the city of Gravitt for the town's centennial in 1993.
Every time you went in for a haircut, you got a pitch to help him build this model. And we finally built a diorama and showed it on Main Street. And Johnny was really happy because obviously a big crowd in town for that event, and they came by and looked at his model. After it was over, he said, "I think we should turn this into a museum."
And so they started a museum. John Mitchell is a member of the Museum Commission that was started as a result of needing a place to store that model.
So we turned that into a museum, which turned out to be a good thing because we just kept getting things donated. And soon we had to have another room, and we cleaned it up and moved things in. And about 1999, we were getting enough things again, we started cleaning the third room up.
Thanks to a community effort, including loans from private citizens, the Gravitt Museum Commission acquired the Kinley House, a 100-plus-year-old house which is listed on the National Register of Historic Places. Renovations began, but it was soon determined that the house was not adequate for museum displays. Gifts and grants, and lots of volunteer hours, enabled the commission to build a 2,400-square-foot display area on the Kinley property. The home is now used as an exhibit, with furnishings and features of the period. As May is Arkansas Heritage Month, highlighting the hardworking individuals that helped make Arkansas what it is today, the museum decided to form an exhibit on the Gravitt Shelling Plant, a walnut shelling plant that opened in the 1930s.
It started in a little shed across, right there, pretty close where it is. Jack said it used to be a beer joint.
I remember what the old man's name was, Uncle Hume.
Delbert Buford and Jack Russell, two former employees of the shelling plant, sit on the porch of the Kinley House, remembering their hardworking days.
Was his name, and I never did drink no beer.
You didn't drink beer there.
I was kind of small.
Yeah.
But, you know, a lot of people didn't know that shelling plant was as big as what it was. That was the largest shelling plant in the world.
Jack Russell is a World War II Navy veteran. He grew up in Gravitt and worked at the shelling plant from 1962 to 78. He says that the plant bought 24 million pounds of walnuts each winter, processing them throughout the winter and into the summer, employing close to 100 people to do the work. But rather than doing the actual shelling, Jack built machines.
Yeah, you can't go buy stuff to pick out walnut. And really, it's very simple. They had a one mandrel with teeth on it, just like a saw. And it run again a rubber manual mandrel, real soft rubber. And that would, then kernels would stick on the saw. And they'd go around, they had the kickers on the other side. And they would kick that kernel off in the tub over here, and the hull would go over here. And they had several of them. They had, I don't know, four or five of them.
Sure beats doing one nut at a time in a cracker. Thanks to the machines Jack helped to build, the plant was able to shell 10,000 walnuts an hour. Even back then, sustainability and cost were on minds. The plant used the shells to put on gravel roads, minimizing the dust that blew up when driving on them. As time went on, they found another use, a product called Quick Seal that was used in oil fields. Jack says they had trouble mixing the Quick Seal and remembers telling his boss that he could make a machine that would solve this problem.
He says, I'll decide to let you build that mixer. So I said, okay, it'll take me probably 2 weeks to get the material and stuff all here, no problem. So I built one. And some guys come by, that won't work. But the boss that had from Stockton, Missouri, they finally bought the shelling plant. He looked at it and he says, that's foolproof. He says, that thing will work. And it did. It doubled their production up there. So it doubled the production way. He says, I'll let you build another one. So I built another one. And you know, I didn't even get a nickel raise out of that.
At one time, the shelling plant was the largest employer in Gravette. The museum's exhibit shows what the workers wore, has pictures and articles of the plant, as well as an activity showing how hard it is to shell a walnut. As Jack mentioned, a Missouri company bought the business, eventually closing it down in the 1980s. The yellow brick building still sits on the acres of land that were once home to sheds that held walnuts and their shells. Gravette shelling plant, though worn, is still spelled out in red. And the men still tell their stories.
But I told Jack last night it started as in a beer joint and wound up in a nut house. So.
I'll tell you what, I enjoyed that more than any job I ever worked on, though.
For Ozarks at Large, I'm Christina Thomas.